everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of Spirit Bound, where we explore spirituality through past and shared experiences to empower limitless possibilities. I am your host, Kiari, who grew up in a religious household, and after doubting my own belief system, I decided to create a safe space where people like me can question their own faith, but explore different religions and how belief systems can affect our spirituality. For this episode, we are traveling back to Africa for religious and spiritual history. I have a special guest here that will help us to begin a conversation on the African diaspora of religions. His name is Yadan Yasharal, and he is an ordained minister at Savior of Yah Ministries. The Savior Word of Yah Ministries is a nonprofit whose sole focus is to support the gathering of the children of Israel. Here he is now.
Hello. Thank you, Kiari, for having us here. My name is Yadan Yasharal. I'm the Moray and Minister of Savior Word of Yah Ministries. And I'm happy to be here and just to share a little bit of information of what we've studied and what we found from our side, from an African Hebraic standpoint, looking at ancient documents and different types of writings that are, you know, prior to Greek and Latin and those type of languages to produce, you know, what information we have regarding the diaspora and the various religions, which we call Abrahamic religions, which we'll talk about in a minute to just introduce that to the people. So thank you for having me here, Kiara.
Thank you so much for joining me. And I'm super excited to dive in and to really learn about where history of religion started, because most of the times we always hear about Latin and Greek and, you know, even Spain or somewhere else in Europe, but we never really attribute to African religions, especially African traditional religions, where they talk about animalisms and nature spirits and how, you know, they didn't celebrate a god at one point. You know, it was about celebrating life in itself and its achievements. It wasn't about the conversion of it. And typically, like, women were in powerful positions in these religious, like, aspects of it, and how we moved away from that, but we have adopted a lot of things into core aspects of different religions. And I really just want to ask you, why do you think in the world today that we kind of not want to acknowledge where the roots of religion has formed?
Well, absolutely. That's a great topic to delve into, because that goes with our voice of being melanated people, and being that we don't own the mainstream platforms that are providing this information, we're getting their story. We're not getting his story or getting facts. Now with the internet, you know, things are starting to be leaking out. Information is getting out, and platforms are being forced to be a little bit more accurate. Even in movies like The Warrior King and so forth, you know, they're being hit with accuracy because now that we can research those things. So any message that talks about a Black or African or melanated kingship or rulership is a threat to a deteriorating power structure that we see right now is deteriorating. So our history was somewhat blotted out and whitewashed in order to prevent the prophecies of those things that were written in those times from coming true, and for us to realize how far we have fallen. So it's intentional that this information is not put to the forefront.
I absolutely agree with that. And it's absolutely crazy to me, as the world forms and what part of the world you are, you kind of are far removed from what you should know. And even though we have social media today, it kind of, like, wherever you are, that's all you know. That's all you're centered around yourself with. And what I mean by that, for example, I'm American. So in my country, even in school systems, even in the way of life, is very American-esque. And even though I currently live in the UK and I'm exploring my own spiritual journey and learning these new things, it's still a very limited view because I'm in Europe right now, right? And it's about Catholics. It's about the Roman Catholic Church. It's about Protestants and Lutherans, but that's still Christianity, you know? So it's like where has this Christianity come from? And people say, well, Christianity came from slavery and back in the African times, because like we didn't have that in Africa. You know, Christianity wasn't a thing until the African continent was disrupted by
Right.
slavery and by people who were in powerful positions back then to make these people that don't know the culture, that probably won't respect the culture and did not respect the culture, to rip that history apart. So now things are like, okay, so what's going on? And I really want to touch on that in African religions and traditions, you know, they didn't believe in a God, which is very strange to even say, like, well, Christianity came out of Africa and now has exploded itself and now it has form into these different forms. But not just Christianity, you have Islam as well, you have Buddhism as well, and Hinduism as well. They all came from Africa because of slavery. So I really just want to touch on the fact that these traditional African religions, they did not believe in a God. And can you give us a little bit more background on what was their practices other than praising a God?
Absolutely, absolutely. And Africa is an entire continent. So inside that continent, you had different so-called countries. And this is prior to the Berlin Treaty and the splitting up of the European nations, basically the raping of the land. But prior to that, you had tribes, you had different nations that stayed within, and they were known by their gods. For example, you had the Canaanites, the Africans that inhabited the land part that they call Israel right now. They had their god, which was Baal. Then you had Philistines, or the Kasphorim. They had their god was Chemosh, or for Moab. So each one had a different god. Now you had other, as you went further south, you had other African tribes that were more less on a god per se, and more on the spirits, the spirit of nature. The spirit of the wind, the spirit of the water, and that's what you see a lot of that when you go into the Far East, because that influence was brought over there. When you see in the martial art films like Tiger Spirit or Monkey Style or whatever, these were spirits. That was the African way of things, was to learn from the earth, learn from the animals, and to be one with it, versus, how can I manipulate this? No, how can I be one with it? So it was more of a naturalistic faith system. And that came about until you had the Hebrew influence, which is coming from Abraham. And Abraham is from Ur of Chaldees, which is Babylon. So this is the cradle of life. What's such a shame is they separate that part of the world from Africa. But if you look at the ancient information, the ancient maps had all the way through Arabia, all of that included in the continent of Africa, including the original tectonic plates. But the original civilization of Mesopotamia, which we've all learned in school, was just like the rest of the African nations, as far as, having beliefs in different nature spirits, so forth and so on, until one family through Abraham, Father Abraham, the Hebrew, came out with a monotheistic view of a God. And that was different. And that was the beginning of the split into the Abrahamic religions of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. So you had those type of things where they were bringing a European understanding of something they didn't have, because they didn't have religion. They didn't have a, when you look at all their mythology and everything, that's all coming from African mythology and spiritualism. All of that, Zeus and all of that is coming from African gods. That's just how you get to the Abrahamic religions that all splintered off that one family, that moved towards that monotheistic view.
And I mean, because we see it in our media every day. You just mentioned it, like Zeus and Aphrodite and all of these things. But what I want to know is that are there still practices of not being monotheistic views of religion, that they're not
Absolutely.
just celebrating one God?
Absolutely. There's a lot of different communities and tribes that have not been what we call westernized. When you're bringing in, like, even when you're dealing with the Hebrew understanding is what we teach. We have to teach against the Westernization. Even our ancient books talk about this Westernization. And unfortunately, because of the Berlin Conference, all these African nations, except for Ethiopia, was the only African nation that did not get conquered by the Europeans. So when they conquer you, the Gentile, being that he doesn't have, when I say Gentile, the European, did not have a religion. He did not have any of those things. So as he conquered lands, he conquered religions and just basically conveniently whitewashed, just like what they do in Hollywood, how they've taken the stories from the Bible and flipped them 50 million different ways into Marvel movies and into Avatar or whatever, just taking that. So right now you do have many, like you saw that in Black Panther, you have so many of the nations that deal with the ancestors, the spirit of the ancestors, where they are connected with a unified spirit versus one God. No, the ancestors, the spirit of the ancestors as a whole, as a community, like in Yoruba, Egbe, which is a community in the Yoruba language. So they see things more of that. And I got to experience some of that as I studied African martial arts, which is Egbe Ogun. And they were introducing some of their spiritualism. And it wasn't towards a singular God. It was to many spirits. And even when we say the word Ashe, which I'm sure you've heard that term before, that's saying, you know, I recognize your spirit to make something happen. Not that I'm recognizing your God. No, the spirit that's in you. And then you say Asheo, which is I recognize the spirit in you as well. So from my experience, you see more of that versus a, you know, one God that they're praying to, which is more Western per se, versus the African, the Eastern, which is more in tune with nature. And that's why the Abrahamic faith of Israelite, which was basically changed to Biblios, the Bible later, was different, was strange to everybody else because they had a singular God that had many parts, but was singular, which was different to the other religions, which had a God per se, but it was also acknowledging, this is your God, this is my God, this is this God, this is that God, like almost like many different superheroes were available.
Thank you for going in deeper to that. And I've noticed during our conversation just now is that you say the other religions and then you mention African traditions. So is it problematic to refer to African traditions as African religious traditions or African traditions religions? Is that problematic? Do Africans view their practices problematic of being put in a box as a religion?
Right. Absolutely. It is definitely a problem. Even in my community, as Israelites, we do not like to be referred to as a religion because a religion is man-made. A religion is, just do this because we said this versus a faith system, a heritage that's being passed down, you know, which has this tradition, but it's really the Westernization that's giving names. Like, for example, Judaism, I brought that up, is not in there. Even the term Christian in the Bible's in there twice. There's a lot of, you know, when that only happens in religion, when you have all these plays for power and secrecy and things being changed this way and that way versus just a natural faith system that a people that have been here for thousands of years have followed. That I wouldn't consider that a religion. But, you know, as the word says that Israel is a seeker of sign and the nations, which the Gentiles are seekers of knowledge. So, you know, people like to seek the knowledge of that faith system of belief and they don't have the spirituality. So they got to categorize it. They got to make it a religion. It can't be a faith. It has to be a religion so that it could be labeled, put into a book and then cataloged.
So what is the difference between religion and faith for the people that are listening right now?
All right. So now religion is anytime you have a faith system that is regulated by man. Now, a faith system is through families, through nations, through beliefs that have been passed down from generation to generation that belongs to just about every African nation in the world. Now, when you start to go into the Europeans, which we've been inundated with their history, you see there was no real religion. everything they had to take from the African continents or take from the East. So when you're taking those faith systems, original faith systems, and now you take what you know and you manipulate it to the way that is going to be beneficial for you to oppress a people or to make money off of people or to control a people, that is a religion. And that's what we have in the earth now with all those classified religions.
For the manipulation part is that going back to how basically things have been perceived in one way, and I'm referring to media, I'm referring to how the church has been made through from a Christianity point of view, how does ancestry play a role of being monetized and being kind of mocked of because of your stance and viewpoint of the religions being monetized? Because religions, in a sense, is a business.
Absolutely.
And that you're telling people to walk by faith, but it's like, how can they walk by faith when, you know, all they know is this religion and this building of westernization of praising one God, you go to church, you do the tithes and offering. So when we talk about ancestors, now we're getting more spiritual. Now we're talking about this faith, but it's being mocked. You know, you have a lot of people, we had blackface throughout history. We've had people Wow. wear masks that are very African traditional, but they mock it, you know, or they wear it for Halloween, like, oh, this is a cool costume. So what
Right.
sense can we bring back the respect of ancestor spirits and calling on ancestors? Because, you know, people even make jokes about, you know, when you cook it in the kitchen, you seasoning your food, it's like, well, you better call on your ancestors. So it's still a thing, but it's like, we're not acknowledging that. So how can we break through to people?
Okay. Well, first and foremost, you have to be true to what your roots are, who you know, your people. There was many different belief systems in the what we can call the mother continent of Africa, many different faith systems. So what I would recommend is to discover where is your heritage, because all the African nations, they all have their own heritage. They have their own country. They have their own beliefs. Now, they have changed, many of them, through domination of the Europeans and colonization, have changed to a Christian type faith or Islamic. Those are the two main ones that they have changed to. But they know they have family members. They have ancient, you know, elders that still carry on some of the practice of their original faith system. So they know who they are. But now the problem is here in the United States, you have a group of so-called Black people or Negroes that are also Black, that are also from the continent of Africa, but the entire group of them don't have a heritage, don't have a land. All we know is a continent. So those group of people, it's easy for them, which where you and I are all included into that group, it's easy for us to cling on or latch on to anything. And the first thing we latched on was Christianity, because that's what they gave us. And then once we realized, wait a minute, how are you going to push a blonde-haired, blue-eyed God that was hidden in Egypt in a black place from a black country? How can he be my savior? Something's wrong. So then we get pushed into Islam just by exposure. That's all we have. But then now we, you know, we're not seeing the holes in some of the things of the religion of Islam. We're not seeing some of those things. So we have to be exposed. So what we have to do is go backward. First, you have to get your history. How did you get here? So that goes into the topic of the original talk, the African diaspora. So I looked that word up because I, you know, I had an understanding of what it meant. I knew it's, you know, the people of the slave trade, but I wanted to see what the definition was. So when you look up the definition of the African diaspora, it's the worldwide collection of communities descended from native Africans or people from Africa, predominantly in the Americas. So I said, oh, okay. So the diaspora is mainly talking about the continental and the transcontinental, and could even include the sub-Saharan slave trade, which was a certain group of Africans that were sent into different parts of the earth. So once you limit yourself to that group of people, well, what, okay, who were those people? Where did they come from? and what was their faith systems? Because you want to test your own. You need to see where you come from. What was your native land? I don't want to worship a pagan God, is a term, you know, where it's a God that's not the real God. You know, what if your nation has the real understanding and you're part of that, but you don't know, but because you're exposed to Christianity, you're exposed to Jesus and you're exposed to Islam, or you are, you know, you're around people doing yoga, so you expose, then you latching on to somebody else's culture. That's theirs. You have to find your own. So in finding your own, now you can look at, all right, now I know what nation I'm from. What language did they speak? What was the writing that they used? And because of the internet and what we have, we can actually search those ancient writings. Like with Kemet, which is the ancient for Egypt, they had the laws of Ma'at, which was written in hieroglyphics. That had their faith system. You know, now when you looked for the Hebrews, we had the Torah, which was eventually taken and changed into the Bible, which was written in Paleo Hebrew, which is before you had Greek, Latin, even modern Hebrew, before all of that. And I can look at those things and we can examine what it says and we can try our faith. Or even if you're Asian, they have ancient Chinese, where they have actual recorded history of ancient Chinese, which is about 100 years after the flood. The flood that's in the Bible, that's how far back ancient Chinese goes. And you can look at the pictograph that they use to write, and it's giving a matching the biblical story. So you're seeing a spirituality in that as well. But the key that I'm trying to say here is find out who you are, find out what your nation was, the writing they did, and go back to your ancestors, what they wrote. Examine that, now compare. And that's how we can get back and away from this Europeanization and colonization and slavery of the mind with these religions, which have all become corporate religions.
In corporate religions, I'm assuming you're referring to as the monetization of building this following and having people forced to follow in a way, because when you really look at mm-hmm. it, is that you have the church. You have people sitting in the pews, but they're all listening to the preacher. And typically now, the man is in charge. The man is in this powerful position. Like, if you look at the Catholic Church, have you ever seen a woman priest? Because I haven't. I could be wrong, but I have not seen a woman priest. They're male. And then it's very rare in Black communities. I'm not going to say all, but in Black communities, if you go to, you know, a non-denominational church, a Baptist church, and that's, again, following this Christianity route, is that there's still man preachers. It's the man. Like, nowadays, you're getting more women, or you get, like, the husband and wife duo, but traditionally, it's been the man. So how did we lose? Because, like, yes, I understand slavery was a thing, and westernization is a thing, and it's still disrupting us today, but if we were supposed to take things from Africa, whether there's artifacts, whether it was traditions and whatnot, the white man in slavery, yes, has destroyed traditions. And I absolutely get that. But as, you know, people who are from Africa and were displaced and forced to move elsewhere, how do we allow this modernization? How do we become so focused on the man being in power where it was women?
Right. And you see that, and that's mainly what you see, the difference between Eastern Africa and Western Africa. So we came out of Western Africa. So and I'm talking about us that were basically via the slave trade, the transcontinental slave trade or transatlantic slave trade. We tend to have came out of Western Africa. So Western Africa tends to be more matriarchal, is more of the woman. More female priestesses, you know, more the woman is more considered God. That's Western. So we have a lot of that influence. And even though you have a man standing up there, it's truly the woman that run the church. I can challenge any Christian pastor. And who's running your church? It's the women that run the church. the even the way that they preach is based upon the women. The women are the ones bringing a lot of the men to church. The women are the ones that are with the young boys when sometimes the fathers aren't in the home. So they're the ones that comprise the church. So you're not seeing a lot of pastors preaching a masculine message. It's more for a feminine. So you're seeing that influence of Western Africa there. Now, the structure, the overall appearance and structure is more Eastern, which comes from an Abrahamic standpoint, where it says the Most High through Moses said, let a man be your head of your congregation. Let him be the shepherd. Let him lead you in and out. I will send another like unto you, a man. Or even as when he sent the son of the Most High, he sent him in a man. That's the more of an Eastern, where you have more multiple wives versus polygyny, which is multiple wives, versus polygamy, which is Western African, where you have women can have multiple husbands, or the man can have multiple wives. You know, it can go either way. Those are this big difference, Eastern and Western Africa. So on the surface, it looks as if we're patriarchal, but we're not. We're really very matriarchal. You look in the homes, you know, you look into the churches, you know, who's sitting in the front rows? You see the women, you know, you see a big mama. She's the matriarch. You know, this all goes back to slavery from coming out of Western Africa, where we were taught a Western viewpoint. So we all need to return and do the research. And you can't just do the bloodline thing. And see, that's the problem. On our website, we have a documentary CBS put up about the problem with these DNA tests, because it's going to be based on their samples. So if you have a certain people that were scattered across the whole earth through slave trade, and then now you take their DNA sample, you're going to find them everywhere. So of course you're going to say, oh, you're in this tribe, you're in that tribe, you're in that tribe. So if you go to one company and do the DNA, they say, oh, you're Zulu. You do another company, their bank happens to have Dahomey people. Well, you Dahomey. Well, guess what? A certain bloodline was in all those places, the slaves. We were slaves in Africa too, as well as in Europe, you know, which is interesting to talk about that with the woman king. You know, they brought Dahomey to the forefront. Dahomey was notorious for slave trade, notorious. So you had a lot of different African nations that also participated in that slave trade. But see, the difference was when you had slavery amongst Africans, it was usually because of war. Like it was a war, just like with Dahomey. Dahomey went to war. And when you lost, okay, well, your men went into slavery. And yeah, you might have been treated harshly, but you weren't beaten, having your name stripped, your culture, a change to it. That was European. The Europeans took that to a whole nother level. And that's how you have that overarching Western, blonde hair, blue eyed Jesus, the Pope. So this is how you have that with that colonization and domination of war, with the European coming in and not only dominating as in labor, as in, you know, POW, prisoners of war, but also your culture and your religion.
It's a lot to really just dig deep into the African traditions, because of the simple fact that, like, African, like you said earlier, is a whole continent, and that we can't just be like, oh, this part of Africa is, because, like, how can people find out who they are? Because you're right, with DNA testing, is scattered. And how can we uplift these traditions, you know, and save the traditions and show, like, this is more of what the way of life should be, and not let Westernization just completely take over? Because now you're talking about so many Black people as a collective in this case, you know, being in Christianity and being devoted Christians. So what is your thoughts on how to turn their mindset?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the thing is, the first thing is to find out, what are you devoted to? So you're devoted to Christianity, and you're looking at the holidays that are for your religion. So you're looking at the holidays for your religion. None of these holidays are in your book that's supposed to be the manual for your religion. That's clue number one, you're in a religion. And once you start to look at the history of these holidays in your religion, you start to see a pattern here. And you say, wait a minute, this has absolutely nothing to do with my people or what we did or the little that I know about my people. Why are we doing this? So then once you do that, then you can start breaking those practices that have been originally beat into us through the Spanish Inquisition and then eventually through slavery, but eventually just became tradition. And then, like I said, ask yourself, you know, if you are of another nation, of any of those African nations, your family knows your language, you know where you're from. But if you're of the African diaspora that is here in the Americas, we don't know that. Everybody's not remember, all Black people aren't the same nationality. You could be from another nation. You're from Kenya. Go find out. What was your country called before they changed it to Kenya? It wasn't Kenya. Nigeria wasn't Nigeria. What was your name before it got pardoned by the Berlin Conference and start to dig into your spiritualism? And you'll see, look, well, what am I doing? This makes no sense. This got nothing to do with us.
I absolutely agree. And I want to move into healers, because when you have a lot of spiritualists and you have a lot of people in churches, whether it's Christianity, whether it's Buddhism or Hinduism, from what I've known, that someone in the church is a healer. And I use the word healer loosely in this context, because healer can mean different things, but in the context of what I'm using as, like, people who heal the spirit or help the person get over a tough time. And now in Christianity, I can fully say, like, the healer is usually the preacher, because the preacher is anointing you, or like someone in the deacon stand is anointing you and they have that power. So in these African traditions, who are the healers?
Okay. You see a lot of different forms of that. Usually it's a priest that tends to do the healing. Now, that priest can be a priestess or a priest. Some of the tribes, they had women, you know, that it was a mixture of spiritualism, but also things of the earth, natural herbs, natural things to heal us. Even the way babies are brought into the world are very different in Africa. We used to have birthing stools, where you would sit on a stool and you would use gravity, you know, or we had doulas, which we say in Hebrew, you know, where they would do it in the water, you know, things that would be less stressful on the baby. So you had a mixture of spiritualism, which you're also seeing in the Hebraic faith, where you have the Messiah, Mashiach, Yahweh Shai, or Yahshua, or Joshua for in English. You had him, he's saying, you know, by your faith be you healed. He would ask people before he healed them, do you believe? Because if you didn't believe, your non-belief, your lack of faith could actually stop the healing. So there's a spiritual connection going on here. You know, with in Hebraic faith, two or three or more gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. So we had that connection in Africa because we were a people. We were a nation of tribes. We had family, familial a culture where we were connected. Like, you remember that term? It takes a village to raise a child. Like, this was our culture. As we were Europeanized, we got more into an individualistic, you know, or more democratic. We're going to all come together and vote, and whatever we decide is the best, that's what we were going to do. That's not how our African culture was. We had you do or you don't, right or wrong, period. We don't vote on, you know, whether we should do right or wrong. It was, there's no in between.
With all of this, because Africa is a huge continent, what advice would you give to people on how to navigate the challenges and the temptations of Westernization religions? Because we are still in very much that we're being fed of what they want us to see. Because even though we're in a digital age where we can research on our own, you know, even your research can be limited by what area of country you are, or what area of the world you are. So what can you do in order to fight against that?
Absolutely. There's only one way. You have to actually go. You got to leave. You have to get your passport. You have to go to the continent, whether you're going to Western Africa, Eastern Africa, Southern Africa, wherever. Chances are you're going to find your ancestors' footprints because we've migrated. But go, actually go. And if you need help, our organization, Save Your Word of Yah, we actually have a tourist guide that we provide, a tourist service that we provide for the Jordan, Egypt, Israel, Sudan, Ethiopia, all those typical areas of Eastern Africa, where we can use that as an entry point for you to be introduced back to the continent, to see the culture, to see how your people live, to see how brainwashed we've been to thinking that this is what the Black person looks like. This is how Black people act. No, this is how Black people act when they're in captivity. That's what we have seen here. But when you go over there, now you can see ancient things. You can investigate ancient documents that may or may not pertain to your people. And even if it's not by your people, it could be writing about your people, which gives you more clues to, oh, so that puts us here. And how did we get here? And this is how Malcolm X, when he went to Mecca. So until you leave, it's just like, if you don't get out of Atlanta, you're not going to know how the rest of the United States is. But we got to get out this country and start going. Stop believing these shows in the news that's all run by three corporations that's telling you, oh, it's just so dangerous. What's dangerous here? We're getting killed here. We're getting murdered here by the police. So get with a reputable group. Always go with a group. Don't go by yourself and go visit. Start to go around, see these ancient places and start seeing, wait a minute, I'm seeing people carved in the wall that look just like me. And now you can start to see your connection and feel your connection with the land. Your memories are passed on to you from your ancestors. So whereas maybe some people felt like they were praying to the ancestors, other people were actually visualizing and understanding and feeling, just like how we have a certain anger here in the United States from our ancestors, what the slaves went through to bring us here in Jim Crow, that we just grow up with naturally. Well, if we have it in that negative trauma sense, we're gonna have it in that therapeutic sense when we connect back with the land and we put our feet on our soil where our ancient ancestors were. And even if that's not particularly where your people are from, we were part of that community and we lived peacefully. Yeah, you're going to have disputes amongst tribes, but at the end of the day, it wasn't handled the way it was handled once the invasion of the West came about. So that's the only way that we could unlock our minds and start to really get into our culture.
And so when you have media nowadays and we are still trapped, essentially, and you're encouraging people to go, it's always going to be people that's not ever going to make it out, whatever country they are from, and go to Africa. And some people can rightfully say, you're telling me to go back to Africa? You sound like just like the white people that's telling me to go back to my home. But how do I know which part of Africa do I go back to?
Right, right. Absolutely. And, you know, when we're telling, first of all, you know, like we can say things to each other that other people can't say, you know, so that it's different. Just like when we get in a fight or argument, it's family business. But when we get in a fight or argument with those of the other nations, that's war. That's not the same thing. So we have to go back home for us to realize that we're in captivity. You're in captivity when you're in a land that's not yours and you don't know where your home is. That's captivity. That's literally a mental captivity. So you have no choice but to grab on the culture of what's around you. That's why we West Side, East Side, New York, Miami, South Bay, whatever, we everything but who we are as a people. So we have to get out of these communities, which were mainly a lot of it projects where they did studies on us, how many Black people they can stick in the area and see how it affects the crime rate. You know, we got to get out of these places and we just got to visit whichever part of the continent that you can get to that is safest for you. Now, if you're not able to go out because of this captivity we're in, you got people on child support can't leave, you got felons that can't leave, and you got poor people, which is the majority of our people, can't leave. Well, start visiting some of these organizations that do go to these places, start talking, start looking at the picture, start doing investigation, start finding what father, if we consider our God, our father, the creator of everything, is not going to make sure that his children have directions back to him. He's going to give you the directions, but you got to seek it. And what the devil has done, the devil has given us the directions to death, which is a Greek European way of doing things. And I keep picking on that because that's not our culture. That may work for Greeks, Europeans. They live under a different circumstance. We have a greater responsibility as the executives of this earth. So we have to start finding our way of things. And we can't use these excuses because our ancestors were literally in chains and shackles, would die for reading a book that you can pull up on your phone, or you can get in these groups and start chatting and people are sharing information, or you can go to saveyourwordofyah.org, our website. All these things that I just talked about, we provide the documents, we provide the books, we've done the work for you. So you can read it yourself. And then now you can decide through your Holy Spirit and your lineage, is this identified with me? Because the one thing that most of us are all saying right now is this mainstream Black church Christianity, this ain't connecting with me. And we're seeing a lot of disenfranchisement. And the danger of that is people throw the baby out with the bathwater. They throw spirituality out altogether. And then now you're just left to the wolves.
I want to mention, like, all the Black churches right now is because simply is that so many people in the Black church, especially people who are in my age group and people who are in their 30s, 40s, and even early 50s, that's not filling the church, you know, and they have moved away from the church. And now they're kind of wondering of wanting to know, is this the end of faith? Do I not believe anymore? Are these questions like something is missing, but it's not the church, it's something more and something greater. And it's like, but due to the limited research that they can be in their regions, and due to not knowing this dysphoria of everything that's going on, how can we get those people who's kind of stuck to move out of this stuck phase? And because they're moved out of the church, you know, they're over the church, they're over the hypocrisy, they're over how the church is ran and how the church has been built. But they're also like, they don't know where to turn, but they know that something is missing. And it's like their spirit is saying, like, this is not it. My thirst is not being cured because of this. I'm not healed because of this.
Right. And all of that's prophecy. You know, of course, I share everything from an African Hebraic perspective because that's what we believe. That's my nationality. That's my understanding. So I'm going to be biased to that. So I always be honest with, you know, the way that I present things. So with our belief system and our ancient writings, this is prophesied that this is going to happen, that in this very time right now, that we would wake up to this brainwashing that happened to us, specifically us, and we would start to seek. So the best thing that I can tell you is that's the number one step, is like the Matrix, the movie. The lady that wrote the Matrix, she wrote, even look at the names of the ships. She's using Hebrew names from the Bible, Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar and Zion. And she's trying to tell you something. So, but the main thing of that, for the symbolism of that, was to unplug. So that's the, you can't do anything if you're plugged into the system mentally. You know, we have to physically, we're here. But mentally, you can unplug. So that's the number one step. This ain't right. So I'm going to stop doing this. I don't know what's right, but I'm going to stop doing it. Hey, you're already there. Once you do that, you're going to end where you need to be. Because in 2022, if we still believe in the Messiah, we still believe in Christ, we still believe in the Most High, after everything that has happened to us, after all the abuse, after all the disenfranchisement, after all the confusion, after all the being fleeced by the flock, after having the slave master in our churches, after being pimped by the Black church, after all these things, and we still believe, that's because we have the spiritualism, we have the faith, we have a connection that cannot be broken. So everything is moving the way it's supposed to move. Once you get disenfranchised from religion, and I don't care which religion it is, whether it's Christianity, whether it's Judaism, whether it's Hebrew Israelite, whether it's Hinduism, I don't care. Once you disconnect from those things and get down to the facts, what was the ancient writing? Who wrote it? Who are they writing it to? And what does it mean in the language that it was written? You can get that now. We got Google Translate. We got Bible dictionaries. We got everything to give you that you can examine it for yourself. And in that process, you are going to find your way. Even if you don't find it all the way, guess what? Nobody is going to find it all the way. You just have to do the best that you can do. That's the Hebraic faith. Love Yah with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And it also says in Corinthians that everything is given in part. We know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is complete returns, everything that's in part will be made complete. So do the best you can to stop doing the things you know are 100% wrong, 100% false, and start seeking the things that are right, and you will find your way. And again, if anybody part of this massive Israelite movement right now, where you have celebrities, you're having all kinds of people that are acknowledging, oh, I know who my nationality is. If you have arrived at that point and you want to start researching, well, who am I? You can reach out to us at Save Your Word of Yah. And our website is Save Your Word of Yah, SAVIORWORDOFYAH.org. And we got videos, we have the ancient books, we got ancient alphabet that goes from the pictograph Hebrew all the way into English, so that you can start to examine these things to say at least what was here, what was said, and then you can decide. But if you're going to depend on, hey, this guy Yadon came on and he talked about something, sound really good, that must be the truth, then we're going to continue being stuck in this religious lazy mindset where we're being manipulated.
Okay. And just one more thing to wrap up this conversation, because this is a huge topic. We can't just generalize everything. But my final question to you is that we're in a day of age where a lot of people have turned to be agnostic or turned to be atheists because they don't like what they see in churches. And I'm not just talking about Black churches. I'm just talking about churches in general. And they don't like what they have seen in religious schools as well. And it has really impacted them to just completely turn away from that faith, from being spiritual, or even feeling the spirit within them. What would be your advice for people who have turned away?
Ultimately, we have to humble ourselves. You know for a fact, you did not create everything that you see. You know for a fact that this ain't coincidence that you got two arms, two legs, two eyes, two nose, nostrils, two ears, and that things are designed a certain way. It's not coincidence. So you know there was a creator. You know somebody is in control that's beyond you because you're not in control. So you have to seek that. That doesn't mean you have to go into Hebrew Israelite or Christianity or Hinduism, but you have to seek. And that's from a Hebraic stamp, knock, he will answer, seek, and you'll find. So you have to go look. But when people get to a point where when they do begin start looking and they see the discipline that's involved with a faith system, that you can't just do what you want to do. You can't just treat people how you want to treat them. You can't just live life a certain way, that the rules are not just what society says is okay, but that there's a higher set of rules. It's easier to say, well, I don't believe in nothing. That way I can just do what I want to do. But when you see people go to their deathbed, what all these atheists do, I believe that. And I'm not saying I believe in Hinduism. They're not saying I believe in God. I believe in the Most High, that Bible. That's where they seem to end up at. So there's obviously a spiritual connection that you have to seek. So you can continue and saying, I'm going to live an agnostic life. And for the Gentile nations, they can get away with that. But I'm talking to my Hebrew brothers. You can't, because we've tried that and it doesn't work. How else are these churches so packed? people are seeking because they've tried that atheist. I'm not going to believe, I'm going to do whatever I want. And the Most High is coming for his children. So that's the best advice I can give you, is to seek, keep seeking. Doesn't mean you got to go in somebody's church. Doesn't mean you got to listen to me or listen to anybody. Seek. And independent, things that are independent of an organization. Go to facts. We got all this stuff in front of us. And in that process, the Most High is going to show himself to you.
Well, thank you so much for us just breaking the ice, just, you know, just kind of knocking down everything on the African diaspora of religions. It's so much to go through. Because, I mean, Africa is a huge continent, but I'm so thankful for your time, for you to give us your knowledge and your expertise in the areas that you know about how, where we should go, where we should start, and a little knowledge about the history of how come where we are, where we are with religions today, and how we can go back to faith-based practicing. So I do appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thank you, Kiara, for having me.
Thank you again to Yadon Yashara for joining us on this first episode of Spirit Bound. And in the next episode, we will discuss hypocrisy in the Black church with guest Jessica Moss. I actually got Yadon's thoughts about this, and here is what he had to say.
The unnatural branches have boasted themselves against the natural branches. So you can't boast yourself, and boasting yourself is taking somebody else's culture, acting like it's yours and changing it to be beneficial to you, and then expecting everybody else to acknowledge you as like this was your culture. That's exactly what's going on in Israel right now. You had a press in the Time magazine in 1962 or something like that. The president of Egypt, Gamal Nasser, said they will never have peace in the state of Israel because the Jews left out Black and came back white. And this is a common theme with colonization, of going in and completely changing things. That's not respect.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Spirit Bound. I cannot wait to be a part of your journey as we learn, exchange emotion, and empower one another. To stay updated with the latest Spirit Bound episode or to learn more, please follow at Spirit Bound Podcast on Instagram and Spirit Bound Podcast on Facebook. Spirit Bound is produced and presented by Kiari Page, supported by Transmission Roundhouse, with special thanks to TR leaders Tom and Marnie, and to all my supporters near and far.